Well, tonight as we come to the book of Revelation, chapter 11, we're only going to look at one or two verses here for this evening, but in studying prophetic events based upon Scripture, those in the Old Testament as well as those in the New Testament, all of the various prophecies that are there, all of the things that have been fulfilled, all of the remaining things that will be fulfilled in the days to come. There are lots of different people I like to read when studying about the end of times and the prophecies that God has for those days when the church, I believe, will be raptured and out of here and the tribulation period begins. But lots of those down through the years that I've read, studied, have great confidence in their scholarship, have been some such as Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye and David Jeremiah and Robert Jeffries and Dr. Thomas Ice and, Dwight Pentecost and Mark, I can't think of Mark's last name, but there are so many different books that I have, Dr. W.A. Criswell, Dr. Theodore Epp, many of these down through the years that I've studied and read, and their commentaries. Jack Van Impe was one of those, and there's so many of them out there that have written, and even among all of them, there are points at which some of them interpret differently, see differently, but for the most part and for the major parts, they agree on many, many, many things. Dean Alford, who is one of the great scholars of the Bible, Dr. Walvoord is another one of those that I love to read. Mark is Mark Hitchcock. And there's so many, many others out there that I've read through the years and love to read the various things that have been written and the interpretations. But Dean Alford said that Revelation chapter 11 is one of the hardest chapters to understand in the book of Revelation. And I, like Dr. Chris, will agree that it is a hard one to understand. There are several things in the book of Revelation that you and I can read about, speculate about, and try to understand as best we know how to. But the book of Daniel, when Daniel shared that when the children of Israel were taken from the land of Judah and Jerusalem was trampled and they were taken into Babylonian captivity, God gave Daniel the days that would be determined from the time of Nebuchadnezzar to the end of the time of the Gentiles, which would take in the last or the 70th week of the 70 sevens that are recorded in the book of Daniel, which deal with that period of time when the Messiah would be cut off, when iniquity would have been dealt with, and all of the things that we studied in the book of Daniel that dealt with the latter part of it, dealing with the end of times. And when we see time and times and half of time, we're looking at the same period of time, 42 months, 1,260 days, 3.5 years would be what the book of Revelation deals with and what Daniel dealt with. He took the last 7 years or that 70th week, which is left to come, the other 69 of those weeks of years have already passed in past history. There's 1 week of 7 years remaining. You and I are living between the 69th and the 70th week that Daniel prophesied. It's called the church age or the age of grace. And so we're living between those 69 weeks of years that have already happened. And we are in between this time when that last week of years, that 70th week, will be brought about with the tribulation. In that last week of years, that 70th week, it's divided into the first 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years, and of course, 3.5 years, it means 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months, time, times, and half a time, all of those mean the exact same thing. So that last 70th week, which is yet to come, will be 7 years, which is divided into the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation is called the tribulation, the great, is the way that is translated. And of course, that will deal with the Antichrist breaks his covenant with the nation of Israel, will have himself to be worshiped, set up in the temple to be worshiped like God himself. Now, one thing that I want to share before we get into verse 1 for tonight, this past week on one of the news reports, after 2,200 years ago, they just found, I believe it was 17 silver coins that were hidden in a cave in a little container, and these proved the fact of the Maccabean period, the Maccabean revolt. Do you remember it said that the caption was this, to some degree, basically said, finding these was proof of Hanukkah, the Maccabean revolt, when Judah Maccabees and his son Judas the Hammer, remember we talked about that? And that all dealt with when Antiochus the Fourth, during the Seleucid period of time, which was a part of Alexander the Great's kingdom that he left, and it was divided, remember, among his four generals. In the Seleucid group was Antiochus Epiphanes. He's the one that set himself up in the temple and desecrated the temple. And of course, the Maccabean period was a revolt against all that, and it was Judas Maccabeus that took the cleansing of the temple. And remember, for 8 days, they used the oil. They didn't have enough of it, but when they lit the candles, those burned for 8 days without running out of the oil. And we talked about that's where the Jews get Hanukkah, which represents that period of time. We celebrate Christmas, they celebrate Hanukkah. But I say all that to say this, in verse 1 of chapter 11 of the book of Revelation for tonight, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. Now, a rod was used for chastisement. Now, John says here, he's given this vision, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Now, if you will remember, last time when we met, in chapter 10, the little book that was taken and eaten up, Dr. Criswell says that book is the same little book that we talked about when that was the seven sealed scroll that the Lamb of God, Jesus, took. And it was a sealed with seals. And in that, we talked about that being the title deed to the earth. Satan has had his years to do his work and what he's doing in this world. But when that seven-sealed book is those seals are unleashed, then we see the various judgments that will fall upon the earth during the tribulation. Now, last week when we saw the little book that was eaten, and it was sweet, and then it was bitter to the stomach. Remember that? Dr. Criswell says that the same word that is used to talk about the seven seal scroll was the same word that is used for the little book. And what it's referring to is that the word is sweet. But whenever you see the judgments that are going to fall because of the rejection that mankind has had for the Lord Jesus, then that becomes bitter to the stomach because of knowing all of the great judgments that are going to come and what is going to happen in this world in the days to come. Now, in chapter 11, there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Now, that word measure is what it means here, and I want to share these thoughts from Theodore Epp's book. He said, having eaten the book and then having been given the command to prophesy again to many peoples, John says, there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court, notice verse 2, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. That's 3.5 years, 1260 days, time, times, and half a time. All of those phrases that we read from the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation, those all are referring to the same amount of time. Now, notice what he says. This is a description of the temple that is going to be built during the days of the tribulation. You do know that the Jews have not been able to have their sacrificial system in some 2,700 years. They have not been able to have that Old Testament Mosaic system by which they sacrificed and atoned for the sins of the people looking ahead to the time the Messiah would come. Now, during the first 3.5 years of this last 7-year period of time known as the tribulation, this temple that we're reading about in chapter 11 is going to be built. And the Israelites, the Jewish people, are going to be under the protectorate of the Antichrist. Remember when the tribulation period somewhere there begins, the Antichrist, the one world dictator, is going to come in peaceably. He's going to confirm his covenant to allow the Jewish people to rebuild the temple, so that they can reinstitute temple worship. Now, we have talked in our studies that all of the vessels and all of those instruments and vestments that will be used during the fourth temple, which is this one we're reading about in the book of Revelation chapter 7, that the Temple Institute in Israel, they've already been schooling those who are descendants of the tribe of Levi, which is the priestly tribe in the Old Testament. And they've already been schooling those who qualify to be priests during this last 7 years of the period of time. We know they've already made all of the clothes that the various ones will wear for all of the vestments of the worship during the days of the tribulation in this fourth temple that will be built, the tribulation temple, if you will. And so they pretty much, as I understand, have everything ready to go. I understand that they even have ease to erect this fourth temple. However, that's going to be whatever it's going to be. And so when we looked at the video a few weeks back about the red heifers, which they found in Texas that they have taken now to Israel, there were three of those rabbis that were qualified to look at those and to determine if they qualify for this period of time, because in the Old Testament, the red heifer would be sacrificed, the ashes would be used in the cleansing of those that would be working in all of the areas of the temple. You see, for all of these many hundreds of years, in order for them to be cleansed, because they have not practiced that Old Testament Mosaic ritualism of their Judaism. And so they've got to be cleansed and made purified in order to be in the temple. And so when the tribulation, somewhere in the early part of the tribulation, this Antichrist, this one world dictator, is going to confirm the covenant with the nation of Israel. And so they will be allowed to build their temple. Now, in the middle of the 7 years, when he breaks that peace treaty with them and will determine that people are to worship him when his image or whatever that will be set up in the temple to once again bring desecration upon the temple, then he will break that covenant and the Jewish people will certainly be an object of his wrath to come. Now, the Israelites, early on, they will feel that they're protected. They will feel that they're at ease, at peace. Now, verse 1 and 2, this earthly temple reveals man as he really is earthbound in his religion. This is far short of the heavenly perfection that is seen in the heavenly temple that we'll see in Revelation chapter 11, 19. If you will remember, the tabernacle that Moses was instructed to make was designed after this heavenly pattern with all of its features and worship procedure according to the way God said it should be. It was God's appointed way in that Old Testament system of meeting with sinful men in the world. God commanded Moses, and in Exodus 25:40, God said, "Look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." God told Moses to see that pattern of that heavenly temple, and that's the way it was to be constructed. Now, Solomon's temple was built after the design of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. But the temple here in Revelation 11 refers to the temple that is going to be built during the tribulation. Now, let me say this about the various temples. Israel's previous temples, they're when you're speaking of the temples from the Bible, you've got to remember there was Solomon's temple. Remember that? And then that, of course, was destroyed. And then Zerubbabel built a temple. And then Herod, he elaborated hugely upon the temple, and that was Herod's temple. So you have Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, Herod's temple. The fourth temple is right here in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. The one that will be built on the holy site there in the city of Jerusalem. Now, Israel's previous temples have been destroyed. Solomon's was destroyed in 586 BC when Nebuchadnezzar and his armies came into the city of Jerusalem, plundered the city, took Daniel and those Jewish captives down into Babylon and to be there for 70 years. That temple then was rebuilt under Zerubbabel's leadership after the children of Israel were allowed to return back to Babylon. And then Herod the Great enlarged and beautified Zerubbabel's temple that began around 20 BC. And it was the reconstruction that was going on, the temple during the days of Jesus. And now then when you come but when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70, that temple was again destroyed. Remember when Jesus and his disciples were walking out of the temple? They were looking from the mountain over at that temple, and those disciples said, "Tell us what will be the sign and of your coming." And Jesus began to tell them about the temple, that it was going to be destroyed. They didn't understand what was going to happen. And so after the death of Jesus and the resurrection and the ascension, then 70 AD, Titus, the Roman general, marched with his armies into the city of Jerusalem. They destroyed that temple. And so for all of these many years, the Jews that were scattered throughout the world, they began to come back to their homeland in 1948. And the Jews have been returning to the land of Palestine ever since 1948. And remember, it was on May the 15th, 1948, I believe it was, at 4 o'clock in the evening that Israel became a nation, and the Bible speaks about Israel would become a nation in one day. Of all of the cities all over the world tonight, magnificent as many of those are, let me tell you, God's focus point is upon the holy city, Jerusalem. The only other time that the holy city will be mentioned here will be when we come to Revelation chapter 11, when it said, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." And so in Revelation chapter 11, is the fourth temple. It is future in scope. It will be during the days of the tribulation when the Antichrist allows the Jews to rebuild their temple and to reinstitute their sacrificial system from the Old Testament days. Now, the worship of this tribulation temple is going to culminate in the forced worship of the image of the Antichrist. He will set up his image in this fourth temple about the midpoint of the tribulation. And when Paul spoke about this man of sin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 4, the apostle Paul told the Christians at Thessalonica that the son of perdition, speaking of this Antichrist, this one world dictator, opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, there are many places of worship even today where the worship is not honoring to the Lord. Now, services, many places all over the world, just do not edify, exalt what Christ expects for the church to do. But this tribulation temple that John tells us about here in Revelation 11, notice in verse 1 is to be measured. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is, I want to measure the temple to see if it comes up to the standards that it should. You see, the act of measuring here is a characteristic or an action of taking possession. And Jesus is now ready to take possession of the temple, so he has it measured to see if its religion meets his qualifications. And as you well know, that it's not going to, because the Antichrist is going to desecrate it. But notice in verse 1, only the inner temple is to be measured. The outer court, which could be frequented, if you will remember, the Gentiles who were considered unclean, the Gentiles could come into the outer court out there, but they could not come into the inner court. And so he tells in verse 11 to leave out the outer court. And so this indicates that God is especially concerned with his people, Israel, at this point, and that he is to begin dealing with them in a different way. He will turn to the Jewish people once again during the days of the tribulation. Many of them will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Remember, an angel will be proclaiming. There will be the two witnesses. There will be the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And so when you look at this verse for this evening, it's all about a future temple, the fourth temple, the one that is going to be built during the days of the tribulation, when the Antichrist says to the Jews, he will confirm his covenant. They will think they're living in peace, and they will get this temple constructed to begin their sacrificial system from the Old Testament once again. So when John is told here in chapter 11, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. Now I want you to think with me for a moment. In the book of Daniel, when we did that long, lengthy study of the book of Daniel, God gave to Daniel a picture, dreams, visions about from that time, from Nebuchadnezzar's time, all the way to the end of the age, the times of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are still ruling, and they will also be ruling through the tribulation. The times of the Gentiles will one day totally be fulfilled, but that's why here he leaves out this court of the Gentiles. Now, during the days of the tribulation, what is the tribulation for? Well, two specific things. Number one, God turns back to the Jewish nation. Remember in Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 11 is a parenthesis there, which is dealing with where God is dealing with the Gentiles, and the Jewish people are put on hold, so to speak, until he turns back to them during the days of the tribulation. And there will be many that will be saved. That's why it says, and all Israel will be saved. That does not mean that every Jew in this world will be saved, but the ones that will be saved will be encompassed in that phrase in the scripture that says, and all Israel will be saved. Now, notice what he says in verse 2. But the court which is without, the temple leave out, measure it not, for it's given unto the Gentiles. The tribulation will be for, especially for the nation of Israel, to see that they missed the Messiah. And they will be given an opportunity during that time, as I understand end time events, that many of them will turn in faith believing to the Lord Jesus. Many of them will not, but there will be many of them that will. The other reason for the tribulation is for God's judgment to fall upon sinful man who has rejected him and to judge the world of its sin. Now, verse 2 says, he says to not measure this outer court, for it's given unto the Gentiles. And notice, and the holy city. Did you realize that Jerusalem, in God's eyes, is the capital of the world? Do you realize that Jerusalem, New York's not the holy city? Rome, Italy is not the holy city. London, England is not the holy city. America's not the holy city. Let me tell you, the Vatican's not the holy city. Jerusalem is the holy city. Let me tell you, it has been. It always will be. 3,000 years ago, King David said Jerusalem is the holy city. And I want you to know, all eyes are on the city of Jerusalem. And the holy city, notice, and the holy city shall they, who's the they? It's the Gentiles. That's why he says, don't measure that. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's 3.5 years. That's time. Time is a year. Times is 2 years. So 2 years and 1 year is 3 years, right? And then if you take half of time, that's a half of a year. So time, 1 year, times 2 more years, and then half of time gives you the 3.5 years, or the 1,260 days, or the 42 months, which is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Did everybody get that? Everybody got that? I know I've repeated it multiple times, but sometimes we have to repeat it over and over and over and over and over. Okay, so in verse 2, as we close for tonight, and then we'll pick up a week from tonight, which will be on the 21st. By the way, we'll be voting on the 23 budget that night. Notice, this is so important that you understand. Please understand this. In verse 1 of chapter 11, can you put that back up there, Martha, verse 1? And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. And them that worship therein. Who worships in this Jewish temple? Who would it be? The Jews. Absolutely. So he says, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. That word measure is what he's referring to there is do I want to take possession. Does this measure up to what it is supposed to be? And them that worship therein. And then look in verse 2. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. Why? For it's given unto the Gentiles. Those are non-Jews. Anybody non-Jewish? And the holy city shall they, he's speaking of the Gentiles, and that's all the way from Daniel's vision from Nebuchadnezzar's time until the end of the age. The Gentiles and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 3.5. Notice he says 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Other places it'll be 1,260 days. Other places it will be time times and half a time. It's all the same amount of time. So don't let that confuse you. So let's review real quickly before we go tonight. In chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 2, this will be the fourth temple for the Jews. The first one was Solomon's. Solomon's got destroyed. Zerubbabel next built the temple. And then came along Herod. Have y'all ever heard of Herod? King Herod. Herod came along and he embellished, if you will, and made it even more magnificent and spectacular. And so you've got Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, Herod's temple. There are going to be five temples. The fourth one is in Revelation chapter 11, the tribulation temple. And then I'm like Dr. W.A. Criswell, the one I fully do not get or understand is the millennial temple, which will be during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But there's going to be a millennial temple. And so, you and I don't understand all of that. We will never understand all of that until we get to be a part of all of that. So don't let that bother you or confuse you. But just remember, chapter 11 is the temple that is going to come in the future when the Antichrist says to the Jews, I'm confirming a covenant. You can build your temple. You can reinstitute your Old Testament sacrificial system. And then in the middle of that 7-year period of tribulation, first 3.5 years, right there in the middle, he breaks his covenant. He will want to be worshiped as God himself. And so you can see when they are asked to measure this temple, is this temple going to measure up to what God's standards are? And of course, you can see what's going to happen when the Antichrist sets up his image to be worshiped as God himself. And that last 3.5 years, that last 42 months, that last 1,260 days, that last time, times, and half a time, all the same amount of time, that last 7 years is divided in two. And 3.5 and 3.5, when I was going to school, is 7. First 3.5 years, the Jews will get to build that temple. They'll think everything's coming up roses for a while. And then in the middle of it, the Antichrist breaks that. All hell breaks loose upon this earth in the great tribulation. And all of these cataclysmic things that will happen through these judgment seals and the bowl judgments that are going to happen upon this earth will be a horrendous, horrible time for anyone to have to go through and to deal with. What is the tribulation for? For the Jews to get saved, to turn to the Messiah. You might say, well, what about Jews today that get saved? Yeah, there's lots of Jews that get saved today. They're called Messianic Jews. Messianic for Messiah. They've turned to the Messiah. So they're Messianic Jews. They've been saved. But all of those other ones that have not turned to Christ during the days of the tribulation, if they don't receive Christ, then they forever will be doomed with the lost of the ages. And so the tribulation is to give the Jews an opportunity, and because Christ will deal with the Jews, and then secondly, to bring his judgment upon this earth for the sin of mankind for rejecting him as the Messiah. Now, do y'all think you can hold on to those two verses for a week? All right, I'll try to run back through that on the 21st. And so I think it's better if we bite it off piece by piece and try to understand so that we know what this is all about. Chapter 11, about first two verses, the fourth temple of the Jews, the one to be built in the future during the first part of the tribulation, the last 7 years of human history as this world will know it. God bless you for being here tonight. Billy. Has already been procured. Well, it will be this fourth temple. It will be this tribulation temple. And yes, there's been a lot of speculation about that, Bill. I've read quite a lot about that, where right now the Dome of the Rock that the Muslims worship in and all of that. There's been speculation. There are some that say that that will be removed. There are others that say this fourth temple is really not on that exact spot, but they found where it really is to go. I'm not going to argue the case. I just know that it's going to be rebuilt. And I think that what you're speaking about is that they have determined, and through all of their, archaeological digs and studies and with the Temple Mount Institute and all of that, that they have a place procured where I think that temple in chapter 11 will be, that may not be where the Dome of the Rock is. What if what? Well, if it's destroyed, the Jews still are going to build this fourth temple. Yeah, but whether it's there or not there, I know the fourth temple in Revelation chapter 11 is going to be built. So I was reading the other day where one of these writers that I read had visited with a Muslim, and they were talking about how that they were very steeped on the Old Testament Ten Commandments. And this speaker was saying to this Muslim, well, you have just told me that you've committed every one of those Ten Commandments, that you have sinned against every one, and you're saying that in order to go to heaven, you've got to keep those. So where is your hope? Aren't you grateful for Jesus? Aren't you grateful for the Jesus of this Bible? Are y'all thankful for that? I'm grateful. I've had about 8 funerals in the last 2 weeks, and I know I've said to people, without Jesus, there is no hope. For those who do not know the Christ of Christmas, it's a hopeless world. No wonder the Apostle Paul would say, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. I'm grateful in the living hope, aren't you? The living Christ. God bless you for being here tonight. Would you stand as we pray together? This will be our closing prayer. Please be safe going out into the parking lot and watch your step. It's easy to fall, and we've got several people that have fallen and want to continue to pray for Phyllis Riley. She fell after she's had a knee replacement. She fell and broke her leg just below the knee in two places, and she had surgery yesterday, and she's in the hospital in Ardmore. So please continue to remember her during this time. So please be careful as you walk and watch where you're going. Amen? All right. What a great crew tonight. Thank you for being here. Father, we thank you for our time we've had together. Take each one safely home, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here tonight.